in the light of what's going on, we thought it might be good just to remind ourselves of some foundational basic things so that we don't lose them. Not that you don't have them. So, in the light of what's going on, it has never been in our world what's happening now. We've never had it in our world, and we've never had it since the United States has been the United States. We just never have had it. So it's a very special, special time. So therefore, turn Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you would, to all of that which you know. And you will note Israel's assignment. Chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 6. Keep therefore and do them, God's word, their relationship to God as his nation. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these things, statutes, and say, surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For reason, what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh or near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? For, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Israel is God's chosen vehicle in history, for human history, all the way to the end of the kingdom. Israel is God's vehicle to reach the nations. There is no other vehicle. The church is not the vehicle. Israel is the vehicle. That's the plan. There is no other plan. God is going to reign in Jerusalem by way of Israel. Now, having said that, over if you would to Jeremiah, since that's what we're looking at. And in Jeremiah chapter 30. And something else now we need to know. That Israel in unbelief, that 10 tribes in the north have gone to Assyrian captivity. The 2 tribes in the south, and Judah and Benjamin, they're down, and they're only a day's way, as it were, a day away, as it were, from Nebuchadnezzar leveling the city. So therefore, the end of Israel. Israel's going to get clobbered, like not even now. They're going to get clobbered. They got clobbered terribly. Now, chapter 30, and in verse 11. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though thy make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, Assyria, Babylon, and all the nations of the world. Israel is their witness. Yet I will not make a full end of thee. Everyone's going to be judged and terminate, but not Israel. Keep going. I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, in proportion, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. That's why the city's going to go down. The temple's going down. You're going to get spanked pretty hard. Chapter 30, verse 24, to be assured that it's going to happen. The fierce anger of the Lord, 30:24. The first anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, until he have performed the intents of his heart in the latter days. You shall consider it. You're going to have understanding. When it happens, you'll know. You could have known ahead. I told you ahead. You weren't paying attention. I told you what's going to happen, and it happened. When it happens, you'll understand. That makes sense? I won't get sick, and you are sick. I'm going to get sick. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, think of a lighthouse, if you would. Israel is a lighthouse, a very key lighthouse in the seas of life of nations. And the ship on the sea is in darkness. It likes darkness. It goes from port to port and place to place in the darkness, the world system. It doesn't want the lighthouse there. So in the beginning, God meant Israel to be the lighthouse. A lighthouse is meant to be lit. So here's the lighthouse, lighting out there and shining. Israel isn't going around the world, going to New York and Venezuela. Israel stays where? Right where the lighthouse should be, in Jerusalem. There it stays. There it sits, in Jerusalem. Doesn't move. It's just there. And when they're with God, believing, the light is lit, and the world has to pay attention. That's why the kingdom, it'll surely happen then. But right now, but here's the lighthouse, and the light isn't on. But the nations in the sea of life hate the lighthouse. They hate that lighthouse. When it's lit, it's awesomely awful. But when it's out, they still hate it. Anti-Semitism. They hate it. They hate it. Etc. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so Israel and its unbelief is there. It isn't there in believing. The conservative Orthodox, maybe. But they aren't thinking about it. They think it's God's, we're Jews, it's God's place. That's correct. But where's God? You can't enjoy the benefits of God's place without God. You just can't do that. So then, what else do we need to remember? Who was first born? Ishmael. Ishmael was then followed by Isaac. Who was first born? Esau. Who followed? Jacob. Now, what do we know? All the Arab world, Ishmael, etc. And they hate Israel with a passion. It's in their constitution. It's everywhere. It's written. It's what you do. Of all the things you do to breathe, that's why they get kids to volunteer, to carry a bomb and blow up. Why? It's the highest. They just heard it in the news. You probably heard it better than I did. And the mother and father were praising their son got blown, took a bomb or whatever he did and sacrificed himself. And was the highest thing they could do. Highest thing. They're committed. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, they're committed. The Arab world is committed. Not everyone in it, but the general Muslim-Islam system is 1,000,000,000% against God. It never, there's no given an inch. So therefore, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and one other little thing that will help, and then, if I can, you know, go over there just to keep you exercised. Daniel. And in Daniel and chapter 2, you don't want to forget all the program of God. Daniel in chapter 2, picking up, if I can. Chapter 2, and remember the image? Daniel's image, starting with Babylon, Media Persia, and all the way down to Greece and Rome. And so where are we? Where are we in secular, sacred history? Where are we in this All of it's it. Everything is already been done, happened. What's left to happen? Sliding down to verse, if I can, in verse 41. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay, part of iron. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, iron stronger than clay, for as much as thou sayest, the iron is mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And verse 43, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, and they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron shall not, is not mixed with clay. Now, all of that we've done, and you can get it afterward. The main point, we're at the feet. The Roman Empire, the Roman Empire was divided, and we're part of the Roman Empire in the sense that's where they came from. They came from Europe, etc. So we're part of the system. We're part of it. What has to happen? You have to ask yourself, what's the next thing? Well, here's the system we're in, looking out the window. And where are the 10 toes, the 10 kings, the 10 parts of the European community, Europe and the Roman Empire? Where are they? They haven't stuck their hand. We can't see them. There's 25 or 30, whatever's in the UN and that European community. But when it's all done, here's 10. What are we waiting for? What are we looking for? The 10, where are the toes? We have to find looking for the toes. We aren't probably going to see the toes, but out of the toes comes the little toe, or the little horn, I should say. Out of the 10 toes comes the Antichrist. So that's where we are. So we're in a world that we've been moving there all these years. But we have never had this particular movement in what we're doing. And so in the process, the advancement, if anyone was a bad guy in the world, in these nations, if you ever wanted to pick a time to advance your evil cause, now is the time. America's nothing. We aren't going to do anything. Who's going to? Is Europe? European community? I got to quit. Because we have Mr. Philippines here. And he's going to give us a window that he has as he sees us. Thank you.
Well then, good evening. Pastor Parsons gave us some passages of Scripture, different portions of Scripture that shed light on how things are unfolding. It's interesting how we are living in exciting days while there's a growing uncertainty in all over the world. I guess also all the more here in this side of the globe, in the Western Hemisphere, so it is in the Eastern Hemisphere where we're at. Because what is interesting is, as Pastor Parsons mentioned, God has intended to unveil or reveal himself to human being all this time. And he has chosen one particular nation, the nation of Israel, to reveal himself to us. The Apostle Paul mentions about that in Romans chapter 9, that God has given to Israel, there is no other privileged nation all over the world than Israel. To them were given the oracles and the covenants and the promises. And as concerning Jesus Christ, God, the second person of the Trinity, tabernacled in human flesh through the nation of Israel. What a privileged nation they were. But to whom much is given, much is required. And unfortunately, they had taken their privileges for granted. From the Old Testament, how God led them through the wilderness wanderings all the way to the promised land. And at Mount Sinai, God revealed his law to Moses. And he promised in the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus the blessings and the cursings that will go if they continue to obey God. God will bless them and let them stay in the land flowing with milk and honey. But if they disobeyed him, God would chastise them. And if they persist in their disobedience, God would eventually drive them out of the land. And that's exactly what God did, being true to his word. Because of the stubbornness or the obstinacy of the nation of Israel, God eventually scattered them abroad. God, in his mercy, sent his prophets, and unfortunately, the nation of Israel did not listen to them. God eventually raised Gentile nations. There is Babylon, there's Assyria first of all, and then Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece, and then ultimately Rome. And these were Gentile nations. They did not understand their language, but that was God's part of judging them, but they were not listening. So God sent prophets, God sent Gentile nations to chastise them, and eventually God sent his son. We go to the New Testament. God sends his son, and the nation as a nation still rejected him. John chapter 1, John tells us about it. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. So part of what's going on nowadays is basically God fulfilling his word way back to Moses from the Old Testament. And he's keeping his word. And while despite the privileges that Israel has had, they had taken them all for granted. So God has temporarily set them aside through the coming of the church and called it a people for his name. That's the beauty of the God of the Bible. God is sovereign, and he can use the wickedness of men to praise him. God used the stubbornness of the nation of Israel eventually so that the doors of the light of his word would come out all the way to the rest of the world, including the Gentile world. Praise God. God raised up believers since the day of Pentecost all the way, the 28 chapters of the book of Acts. We find the first 30 years of the Christian church, and it moves on from there until the gospel has been preached in different parts of the world, especially this country. You have been richly blessed of the Lord so that you have a rich Christian heritage, which everybody now tells me that heritage, if it's not fast eroding, has actually gone. But we have been blessed also to be able to hear the gospel sent to us by missionary agencies and missionaries coming from this side of the globe. But as the Bible tells us, and as history attests to us, still the nation as a nation has rejected him. Rejected God's son. There are individual Jews as well as individual Gentiles who have placed their trust in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that composes the one new body called the church. We find that in Ephesians. Paul explains that to us in his epistles. But the Bible tells us this temporary rejection of the nation of Israel would mean the salvation of the Gentiles. However, the Gentiles as a race is equally guilty of taking their privileges for granted. Many nations all over the world are taking their privileges for granted, hearing the gospel message of salvation by grace through faith, exclusively to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Thankfully, where there are those individual Jews and Gentiles who have trusted Christ as Savior. But the Bible predicts that when that last believer in the church age would have been saved, then the church would have been raptured, and God would go back and reveal himself to the rest of humanity through back to the nation of Israel. So the Gentiles are taking their privileges for granted. They failed to realize that just as God has temporarily rejected the Jews, God is going to do the same with the Gentiles once again, and will reveal himself through the nation of Israel once again. What is interesting with what's unfolding today, if you and I are familiar with the passage in Ezekiel, there are prophetic portions of scripture that tells of what's going to happen during the tribulation period. Specific nations have been mentioned, and many of these nations are actually in the global scene as you read the current events. The kings of the east, such as China, you have Russia, you have Iran, you have, of course, North Korea as part of the kings of the east, and you have all these Hamas attacking Israel, and all of these taking place. There's coming a day when there is going to be an alliance between Russia and Islamic nations, and they're all going to align themselves to attack the nation of Israel. That's going to be sometime when, the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, when Israel is dwelling in safety in the last days. today Israel is at war. Their neighboring countries are all against them. Thankfully, their greatest ally, which is your country, the United States, has been there to protect them all along, to ally them, strengthen their military forces. But what is interesting is in Ezekiel 38, when Russia and the Muslim nations attack Israel, isn't it interesting that the strongest ally of Israel is nowhere to be found in Ezekiel 38? And that to me is indicative of the fact that while it's hard to say this is what's happening, that what's happening today is actual fulfillment of prophecy, I think the safest way to put it is what's happening today is a setting of the stage for the coming of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy when Russia and the Islamic nations will ally themselves to attack Israel and the United States won't be there. But one thing we are guaranteed from Scripture is there's going to be somebody stronger than the United States who's going to protect the nation of Israel, and that's the Jehovah God himself, the Lord himself. And he's going to use this battle in Ezekiel 38, which will happen sometime in the middle of the tribulation period. We mentioned Israel is now at war with many of their nations, surrounding nations today. But when this alliance will attack Israel, of course, it's going to be another war just before that alliance will take place. Israel will be at peace, says Ezekiel 38. And how will they be at peace? Because while Israel is at war now, there's a coming person, a man who's coming into the scenario, and he will enter into a peace treaty or confirm a treaty with the nation of Israel, and he will contribute to the peace that will take place at the first half of the tribulation period. Who was that man? He's going to be the man of sin, the Antichrist. With all that's taking place, things are getting worse in that particular part of the globe, but it's, I believe, setting of the stage so that there's going to be a hero who will come into the scene and says, okay, I'm going to affirm this covenant with Israel so that they will have peace. And they will have that, according to the book of Ezekiel, for at least 3.5 years. The Israelites will say, finally, we have somebody to deliver us from our enemies. But they didn't realize that this deliverer is not the Messiah predicted in the Old Testament. He's a false Messiah. He's the Antichrist. We cannot identify who he is right now, but he's probably somewhere in the scene already, and he's going to come into the scenario and enter into a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And after 3.5 years, eventually this alliance of Russia and the Arab nations will come and attack Israel, and God again will intervene. And that's going to be sometime 3.5 years in the middle of the tribulation period. What is exciting is the rapture will take place way before that. Years before that time, which means while the scenario, the world scenario, seems to be very discouraging, and even including our part of the world where China has been flexing its muscles to dominate the region of the West Philippine Sea, which the Chinese call the South China Sea, what's taking place is, of course, with the weakening of America comes the emboldening of Iran, China, Russia, and all of these major players in the tribulation period, which simply means this is a stage being set for the coming of the tribulation period. So should we be discouraged? Of course not. You know why? We are living in exciting days. But why? Because you know what? Who knows? Our generation might just be the generation that will experience the rapture of the saints. And wouldn't that be great? Many of us, if that be the case, will never have to taste death. The Lord will take us home to be with him in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, our harpazo in the Greek, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So prophetic scripture is simply history pre-written. Much of this we still haven't seen. It has not happened. History usually is what we look back to and see this is what has happened. Biblical prophecy is history pre-written. It has been revealed to us through the inspired writers of Scripture, from the prophets all the way to the New Testament apostles. And thankfully, we can see them unfolding in our day. Now, they were revealed to us for what purpose? This is not to scare us. God's prophetic scripture is revealed to us in scripture to prepare us. So the challenge is really for all of us who know Christ as Savior. If the scenario is setting the stage for the tribulation period and the rapture will take place before the tribulation period, then should we not be all the more get ready for the any moment return of our Lord Jesus Christ? John puts it this way in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, any man who hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It's a challenge to me, to every one of us who know Christ as Savior, in the light of the any moment return of Christ, then we should live lives that are holy and pure and well-pleasing in his sight. Listen, this world is not our home. We are merely passing through. And while some of us, God has blessed us with plenty, and we should not be guilty of it. If God has blessed us with plenty, then we should invest it for eternity. We should be thankful and be using it to advance the cause of the gospel. But sometimes, in the midst of plenty, we get so engrossed with our blessings, we get the blesser. And some people get so engrossed with their blessings, they have little desire of leaving this world. So let this be as a challenge. In the light of the Lord's any moment return, the stage is being set for the tribulation period, then let us all be prepared for the any moment return of Christ. Imagine, sooner than tomorrow sunrise is the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. We might not have to see the sunrise tomorrow, because the rapture can take place even tonight. We're not setting a date, but we know that his coming, the rapture, is happening at any moment now. Let us therefore be ready for his any moment return. That's the challenge I would like to give you, Pastor.
You might want to turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians, if I can, and keep in mind, if you would, A, there is a great movement in the Arab world, a very aggressive, very active movement, obviously. In the European world, the nations, I am sure they are very active. They have to remember their fuel, everything, the Ukraine and Russia and all of that. So the European community, which is where out of that comes the ten toes, all of that is moved. We have moved as a nation. We're stepping back. We have stepped back from our position as a prominent, powerful, very valuable position to keep things in order in the world. We're not there. So we got that, you got all of the other things. All of it is in movement. Communist Brazil, Venezuela, Cuba, where you want to go. Canada, the Great Reset, you got all this stuff. France, the Great Reset. So not only have you got what's happening, then you've got the politic out there that's going, and they're all thinking on this, our own country is Great Reset, looking for that. They're looking to go to another kind of world. That's what they're doing. So if we didn't have this going on, we have that going on. Now with that going on, and we add this, this volatility, that really stirs everything up. Wow, I think it's an exciting time. It's a wonderful time. If you lived in the days of Jeremiah, especially during the days of the last king, Zedekiah, it was a horrible time. But it was a wonderful time. You were going to be the last little witness in Jerusalem to all that God is going to do. God, here we are on planet Earth, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. And you will note, here we are looking, I'm going to do the second first part, but I'm going to do the second part first. But of the times, that has to do with the length of times, how long things are, how long they last. But of the times and of the seasons, the characteristics of a given age, a given time. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. That's why we mentioned in the beginning, just a little thought or two, the stuff we're supposed to understand. As believers, we're supposed to understand what we're doing here. What are we sitting here for in the showing the grace of God? We ought to understand that. So, God said, you ought to know this. It isn't just intellect. It's with your heart to know the God who's doing all this, who has a wonderful plan. And therefore, verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. God's going to come, and the world isn't anticipating. They aren't looking for him coming. They're looking for other things. We say it from a biblical viewpoint, from the Antichrist, the ecumenical movement, Revelation 17, 18. All of that, we're looking for that without understanding it as a world. We aren't looking. And so when the Lord comes, we aren't looking for that. We aren't even thinking of God interfering in a day of wrath. We aren't thinking of that. And verse 3, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. And without taking any more time, just think of Revelation 6. And the man, Antichrist, coming on a white horse, is going to bring peace. That's going to last for a couple of minutes, and then it's gone. What's the world looking for right now? There can't be war. Vietnam. Can I tell you? Vietnam's over. What can I say? Iran and all of that. It's all there. All there. And God said, listen. And they're looking for peace. They're looking for something. And the peace is going to buy getting rid of Israel. But you aren't going to get rid of Israel. That's the awesome part of this. As we're going to beat Israel up, we're going to try to bomb them from the north and the coast. We're going to try to do it. But you can't get rid of Israel. You can't get rid of them. So how, God, are you going to use them? God isn't going to get rid of them. So we're going to see what happens. And they aren't going to lose. That means they have to stay alive. Have to stay alive until and all the way until he comes. It's the way it is. So I got to quit. Second, last part, in the light of that, knowing the times and seasons, we at least ought to be not ignorant. Over, if you would, please. Picking up, please, in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, the brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that have died, believers, Peter, James, Paul, are going to be ultimately, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. First chapter 3, we should be knowing the times and seasons. Verse 13, we ought to know, and not be ignorant, that we're looking for the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, here we are, the remnant and remain unto the coming of the Lord, and we're still here, shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, there's no one going to be left behind. God's going to make it all happen at once. The people that have already died, believers, Peter, James, and Paul, and the people that are living like us. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And that's with that to catch up into the air, to grab with force. Force, that isn't an easy word. That's reaching down and grabbing something and pulling it up. Pulling it up. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to be changed in the fraction of a nuclear, a millisecond. Millisecond. Changed. That's what we're looking for. Do we know that? Then we ought to live accordingly. We ought to live carefully. And if you ever say, well, it's going to get better, it's true. The cycle is going to go like this for a little bit. But don't be deceived. Each time it cycles, we're closer, closer and closer to the end. Don't lose it. It's a wonderful time. You ought to be encouraged. If you know the Lord as your Savior, if you know the Lord as your Savior, and you don't enjoy a personal relationship to God, all of this is as nothing. Do you understand? I didn't say you weren't saved. I just said you don't enjoy a relationship to God. And most believers do not enjoy a relationship to God. How do you know? Just look around the world. Look and listen. There's no sense of God's awesomeness.